Secret Warriors for your show.
Occurred to me over the years that in the choosing of Dalam Minim, so not all that much has changed between when we choose a set of Dalam Minim now, let's say 25 years ago, when I was a kid, when we used to choose Dalam Minim. The only thing I think has drastically changed is the choosing of Hadassim. So I want to speak a little bit about what exactly is going on. Everyone knows when you go buy a set of Dalam Minim now, so you spend a lot of time looking at the Yesser, you spend a lot of time looking at the Lulav, that Rav is not the best to look at, and Hadassim, nobody looks at Hadassim anymore. So when I was younger, I remember we used to sit for hours and hours and hours just to find a set of kosher Hadassim. So now you can buy everything prepackaged. So the problem is that they sell you a lot of different kinds of packaging. So I already noticed yesterday there were three different kinds of packaging. I still couldn't figure out the difference between one and two. But all I could tell was the difference in price. So one was $25 and one was part of the set or something. So I thought we'd just get a little bit of that experience yesterday. It prompted me to, inspired me to give a little bit of a shiur just to figure out what exactly is going on, what exactly are the dinim exactly in Hadassim, particularly this understanding of Hadassim Shulash, and really to figure out what exactly we should be looking for, what we should be spending our money on. So I'm not getting any kickbacks from any of the Dalam Minim sellers. So the sugya of Hadassim really begins in the first of the Mar Mekomos and Masechet Sukkah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a Brayish Tana, eight of us kosher, the she'enu of us posel. It shouldn't surprise us because after all the Torah describes Hadassim Tanaf eight of us. So the Brayish says that if it's an eight of us, if it meets the criteria of eight of us, then it's kosher. If it doesn't meet the criteria of eight of us, then it's posel. So the Gemara says hey, Hechadam Yavos. What in the world does that phrase mean? So we know what Anaf means. It means a branch. We know what eight means. It means a tree. We don't know what Avos means. So says the Gemara, Hechadam Yavos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, who dekaimet plosa plosa tarfi bikina. That's if the three leaves on the Hadassim are all coming from the same point. It seems to be machlekes of a shalom. What does it mean, the same point? It means the mamish coming from the same stem, which is kimat nashayach. Well, at least they're coming on the same level. That's what we usually assume in halacha. That as long as they're three, you take a look at them and you see they're basically all at the same level. So that's considered to be what's called an anaf eitz avos. Avos in the sense of like an interlocking chain that the three are looking like a chain together and then leads on to the next leaf, etc. So this is what's called the hadas b'shulash. When you have three leaves coming out at one level, that's called Hadas Meshulash. So if Kahana Amar Fil Trei V'Chadra, if Kahana said no, that they don't have to be what we call Meshulash, they don't have to have all three on the same level. You can even have two on one level and one on another level, that's also okay, as long as there were three leaves, so it doesn't really make a difference, even though they're not quite what we would call Meshulash. So Rav Acha Brei Derava Mahadra Trei V'Chad, so Rav Acha Brei Derava used to go out of his way to daska get that kind of a Hadas, because since Rav Kahana said that that's kosher, so he wanted it to be Yetzi, Rav Kahana said, oh, but nothing with Pumid Rav Kahana. Since that's what Rav Kahana said. So the emphasis is Rav Kahana never meant to say that only that's kosher. Rav Kahana said, Afilu Trei V'Chad. Rav Kahana was a Mekel. He was saying, don't think you have to spend a lot of money to buy Meshulash. Even if it's not Meshulash, even if it's two on one level and one on another level, that's also okay. So since Rav Kahana said that, Rav Acha used to be Machped Dafka to be Yetzi Rav Kahana's literal words. So Amalei Ma'abra Meimu told Rav Ashi that Abel Ahu Hadas Shoyta Karilei, that he's quoting his father. His father Meimar used to call that kind of Hadas, that which Rav Kahana was using. So that which Rav Acha Bar Rei the Rebbe was using, he would call that a Hadas Shoyta. Hadas Shoyta presumably means that it's not acceptable. What exactly does the term Hadas Shoyta mean? So there seems to be two different interpretations. What does the word Shoyta mean? So some interpret Shoyta Kipshuto. Hadas Shoyta means it's like a Shoyta, like a Chay Shoyta Kaitan. It means it's something which is a foolish hadas. It's a hadas that's trying to pull out a leg. I mean, it's not really a good hadas. It's a possible hadas. So Chazal used a phrase that's a foolish hadas, a silly hadas. And others say that the lashon shoyta is not really, doesn't mean from the lashon shtus, but rather it's a lashon shita, like we say in the Zmir, it's hadas shita barosh tidar. Shita means a branch. So hadas shita means that it's just a mere branch. It's like a branch of any other tree. It's not a hadas tree. It's a shita tree. It's not considered to be a kosher hadas. So again, etymologically, whatever the word shoyta here comes from doesn't really matter too much to halacha. But Maisa clearly a Meimer is saying that it's not acceptable. So there seems to be a machlekes amaroyim here, whether what some amaroyim are calling a hadas shoyta, which means two and one, not three at the same level, is that kosher or not? Rav Kahana said it was okay. Rav Acha Brei Derava used to use that. And a Meimar, and the later amaroyim seem to say that that's not acceptable. So this machlokes seems to be revolving around a din d'oraisa. How do you define a pasuk in Chumash? Anaf itself, so Torah describes it, has to look like an avos. And what does avos mean? So according to half the Amoraim, avos means dafka three on the same level. According to the other opinions on the Amoraim, it's not true. The nevel is such a halacha. As long as it's two and one, it's also okay. How do we pasuk in the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in the Sechta Nemar Mekomos, so Shulchan Aruch and Simin Tafresh Mem Vav Sif Gimel Nerechayim quotes that Anaf eats avos amu batora hu ha'adash olav chofetes eitzo. You go shlosh olav yose begivel echad. It has to be three or more. You can have five leaves also in one level. That's also all right. But it has to have a minimum of three in the same point. But if you have only two leaves on the same level, and the third leaf is above the two, aims at others, this is not acceptable. That's famish possible. It's going to the Pesach Shulchan Aruch. So we follow the later Amoraim, Amaim, and Ravashi, and we hold that it has to be absolutely three minimum. If it's two and one, that's absolutely possible in the Araisa. So comes the Ramon and says, according to this opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, this type of hadas is absolutely not acceptable, even b'shasad chak. The reason why the Ramon felt the necessity to write a filu b'shasad chak, because there are certain kulas in dalaminim b'shasad chak. There's a sugya in the third breath of Sukkah that speaks about certain dalaminim which may have been possible under normal circumstances, maybe kosher b'shasad chak, a strange kind of halacha, either it's kosher or it's possible. So l'mashal lulav ha'yoveh, so lulav ha'yoveh should dried out lulav, the Mishnah says it's possible, but some Mishanim read pshat in a certain gemara in the third breath of Sukkah, that maybe b'shasad chak is kosher. Those who learned that young may remember a day or two ago, but ain't shasad chak raya. According to some Rishonim, b'shasad chak is kosher. How can you have such a thing that kosher sometimes a puzzle another time? So the Yosemech explains that things which are possible because of hadar, because they're lacking in beauty, so beauty is sometimes depends on the context. If everything looks very shvach, and this thing looks also a little bit shvach, so then it's considered to be beautiful compared to all the other things. But if you have a lot of beautiful lulav, and then you have one lulav that's dried out, so then this lulav looks very bad, so then it's not considered to be a hadar. So that's what some Rishonim seem to say. Rambam seems to write this way. Other Rishonim go along with this idea that certain psalm of dalaminim, that if there's nothing else available, it's a shasad chak, so then we lower the criteria as to what constitutes a hadar. That in contrast to everything else, compared to everything else, if everything else looks terrible, so then this is not so bad. This is considered to be a kiyum of hadar. So b'medem ha'mamurim, you could say such a svara, that's when it's a psul of hadar. But if it's a psul because it's not min, it's lacking something. It's not that it's lacking in beauty. It's lacking in some basic definition of the min. Let's say, l'moshel, a guy has three minim and he doesn't have an eser, but he has an orange. So, and nobody else has a sregim. You know, he's on a desert island, all that. There's a lot of oranges, very no sregim around. So would anybody say, oh, it's a shasad chak, and orange is also good? That's a joke. That's not kosher. That's not the min. The Torah said Kriya Tov. The Lachem Moshe Messini is it has to be an Esrog. It's not an Esrog. It's not an Esrog. So that's what the Ramah is saying here also, that it's possible to do b'shasad chak. If Anaf Eitz Ovos is defined by three leaves in one shot, in one level, so I don't care what the shasad chak is. If there's no hadas kosher in the rest of the world, you're not yet to dalaminim, because this is not the min that the Torah was speaking about. So that's what the Ramah felt the significance to say, possible to do b'shasad chak. But then the Ramah says, v'ikav adyam b'gemar d'kosher. The Ramah says that we're not convinced the Mechab is right. The Mechab is asking that Hadash Shait is possible. Says the Ramah, but don't forget, there was one day in the Gemara that said it's kosher. Vachabei the Rava, the Rav Kahana held that it was kosher. So therefore, the Ramah makes an about face. Alkei nogin be'elu ha-medinos, lechatchila latseis be'elu ha-adasim ha-muvoyim, be'ein gimel alam be'givel hechot. Says the Ramah, therefore, since there's one day in the Gemara that says it's kosher, so therefore the minig today is to be made, and we assume that it's okay, that it will, what the Shulchan Aruch held was possible in the Raisa, because of Hadashaita, the Ramah saying the minig in Eastern Europe was Mahakil. What kind of story is that? If the Gemara says that it's possible. So the answer is the Gemara never really said that it was possible. The Gemara quoted a machlokes. The Gemara said, according to Rav Kahana, it's all right. According to Rav Acha, it's okay. According to Amaim or Rav Ashi, it's no good. So it's a machlokes. The Gemara never really decided. The Gemara never was really mechriah. So it would appear that we should be mechriah l'chumra, but we have a rule in Pesach Halacha that sometimes when you have a shasal chak, if there's no clear-cut Pesach l'halacha, then you have a right to be making in shitas, even though you wouldn't normally follow that way. The Gemara says in Gideon Maseches Nida that when you have a machlokes and it was absolutely clear-cut what the Pesach Halacha is, it was ready nimna v'gom, it was a Pesach based in, that the halacha is like ploni, so then even if it's a shasal chak, you can't rely on the other shitas. You can't just pull out of your hat and say, well, life is difficult, so let's rely on the das yachid. You can't do that. But if it wasn't Nimna v'gomer, if it wasn't an absolute clear-cut Pesach Halacha, it's just that it appears that that's the way we should follow. The Rove seems to be following one direction, but it wasn't Nimna v'gomer, yet it wasn't a Pesach Beis Din. So then the Gemara has a clock. Kedai Rebbe Lazar l'smoch l'b'shas l'chach. Kedai Rebbe Shimon l'smoch l'b'shas l'chach. You can sometimes pull shittas out of the hat and say, well, it's a shas l'chach, hashem ruba, things like that. So you can pull out shittas that even though they wouldn't be normative v'halacha. So that's what the Ramah seems to be saying here also. We know historically that Eastern Europe was very, very difficult to get dalet minim. Let's not forget the Shulchan Aruch lived in Eretz Yisrael, at least towards the end of his life. Mal lived in Krakow. It was pretty cold in Krakow by Sukkot's time, and there weren't too many sycamore trees growing. There weren't too many little oven trees growing. There wasn't too many hadassim. They had very, very little. They had a lot of potatoes in Krakow. That's about all they had. So it was very difficult to get dalet minim. That's what I always say, that the Zman Hazeh, the type of esrogim that we parcel for our kids, we wouldn't even buy for a chinuch set. The Vilna Gaon would have given his life for an esrogim, the kind that we just machal lech, we throw away. It was hard. Now, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where you're able to get lechatchilah and lechatchilah, things that I've said and never dreamt of getting. So the Ramah says that it's such a shasat chak in our countries to get a kosher adasim. So the minig is lahakol, that we assume that hadash shait is also acceptable. Because again, it was never really decided in the Gemara that it's possible. So therefore the minig is to rely on that opinion. Then the Ramah writes another reason. The yesh b'shakos, that there are others who want to defend the practice. The adasim shalonu enikram hadash shait. The adasim that we have are not the Gemara's equivalent, not the equivalent of the Gemara's hadash shait. Ho ben shnayim agav shnayim. The Einam Tadashait in Muska B'Gemara. The Hadashait that the Gemara was talking about was two on one level and then one. The one on top, one on the bottom. Says the Ramah, our Hadassim, they're not two and one. They're two. They're two, enough two, and then another two. And each level has only two leaves. So the Ramah says, oh, that the Gemara never passed. Ulay Dibra Ramah, if you would have asked me, I would have said, that's not even a Havamina, that's kosher. It means the whole Machlokes in the Gemara was, if there are three leaves, it's just the shayla that the three leaves have to be on the same level. But if you just have two leaves, that's not Avos B'Klov. That's not interlocking chain or anything. That's B'Klov, not even in the Parsha. So the Ramah says a very strange thing. The Ramah says the opposite is true. That the two leaves on one level, and one on the top, one on the bottom, that the Gemara discusses. So that never, we can't be made alone. But the two leaves, just two leaves, and two leaves, and two leaves, so that's okay. So Kolon, Mari Israel, and B'tshuva Sam. So he quotes a group of Acharonim, earlier Acharonim, who are Mekel Amais on the Hadassim that were prevalent in this part of the world, that the one has a right to be Mekel. Either because maybe Hadashayt that we paskin is kosher, maybe we paskin like that there because Hadashayt is really kosher. Or maybe some of our Hadassim are not really the Hadashayt that the Gemara was speaking about. So the later Acharonim, the Mishabura quotes, and all the later Acharonim will say that this Ramah is very, very difficult. That the first Pshat the Ramah is very difficult. That the Pashtus and the Rishonim was that we pass them like the end of the Gemara, like a Meim and Ravashi. Those are the later Amaroi, Malach and Kibasaroi. So the Pashtus Pshat is that we pass can have the Shaita is possible. And the Pashtus Pshat is there's no difference whether it's two, whether it's three. Lamais, if it's not three together, the Gimel Echad, if it's not three on the same level, Lachari, that's all included in a possible Ahadah. So the Pashtus Pshat is that both reasons that Ramah is giving are very, very difficult reasons. Mr. Buhr writes that the Ramah was trying to be machzik to minig. It was a shver minig. They had no choice in Krakow in the 1500s. They didn't have adasim. So you had to dig up shitas out of the hat and say, well, maybe it's because for this reason, maybe it's because for that reason. A shas al chagodol. Mr. Buhr writes that ready in Radin, it was easier to get the adasim. He writes, you shouldn't rely on any of these coolers. Mr. Buhr said, you should go with the Shulchan Aruch, with the regular Mahalach and the Gemara and the Rishonim. The Pasuk Pshat is the Hadashait is Possum and Daraisa. The Pasuk Pshat is that all the adasim that are not at least three things on one level mamish consider to be absolutely possible. That should clearly be the Mahalach, the Psak Halacha. Notwithstanding this Ramah, the Ramah was trying very hard to Ramah Mitzchus on the Oilam in Poland in the 1500s, but the Maisa today, in the days of Mishnah Berurah and Kavachomer today, so nobody should really rely on this. We should rely on that, we should follow the Ikra Adin, that Hadass really has to be Mishulash. So the question is, when we speak about Hadass Mishulash, so how much exactly has to be Mishulash? Every last drop in Hadass has to be Mishulash. So here, the Shulchan Aruch, in the third of the Maamar Kometz, quotes the following, the Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim in Tofresh Memvav, Sifrei, quotes, L'mitzvah ba'inan kol shir orach ha'adashe avos, u'le'ikuvah berubo. That the Shulchan Aruch quotes in effect the split psak, that l'chatchila, the entire length of the hadash should be avos, should be what we call mishulash, and at least the diaved, l'ikuvah, it's ma'akev, at least the robe of the shir is mishulash. When we speak about the whole Hadass being Meshulash, or over the Hadass being Meshulash, we don't mean the entire branch. Let's say a guy takes a 3-foot long Hadass, so it doesn't have to be Kula Meshulash. Kula Meshulash means the whole shear has to be Meshulash. Or Ruba Meshulash means the whole shear, whatever was necessary as the bare minimum shear of the Hadass. What's the bare minimum shear of the Hadass? So the Gemara says it has to be three tvachim. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Lulav HaGadol has to be three tvachim. Then the Gemara in yesterday's daf, or today's daf, a little stress already, but in a recent daf, the Gemara has a machlokes about exactly how he chesmen out those three tvachim. As remembered, if you tie from the 2.5, it ends up to be 2.5 tvachim, according to many Rishonim. So you're not talking that much. You're talking about 2.5, or according to some Rishonim, 3 tvachim. You're not talking all that much. L'chadchila, that entire shear of that das has to be, of those has to be three leaves on the same level. And b'diavet, so if you can't get that, then robe is also good enough. Then the Rama adds on a phrase, afilu ena barosho. That shear need not be on the top of the hadas. It could be anywhere on the hadas. Let's say the top of the hadas is missing a few leaves here and there, but you have three tefachim anywhere else on the hadas, that's okay. Why does the Rama feel the necessity to write that afilu ena barosho? Because there are some Rishonim who disagree. The Rush quotes, there were some who held that the three tefachim have to be dafka on the top of the hadas. Maihai, manishtan on the top of the hadas. So we know in Dawat Minim there are differences between the top of the min and the bottom of the min. It's an emotional esrog. So we know that on an esrog, so the halachas of chazazis, the halachas of pimples and marks, and all kinds of color changes and things like that, which could potentially disqualify an esrog, they're much more chomer on the top of the esrog than on the bottom of the esrog. Why is that? So the Gemara explains, that Rashi explains in the Gemara, that why is that the chaitim, the top of the esrog, is more chomer? Because that's the part that catches your eye. When you look at something, so you usually look at the top of it first. So the halacha of Dalaminim, all the dinim of Dalaminim revolve around Hidr, about Pre-Eitz Hadar. So therefore the Gemara says the shear was given, that if you have a little mark or something, you have some pimple, some blemish or something on the Esrog, so if it's on the top of the Esrog, even if it's the Masha, it's a problem. Even the smallest amount could potentially be a problem. If it's on towards the bottom of the Esrog, so then it depends. And it depends if it's robe or not robe, or a few places, then it gets into details as to how much possible. But the top of the Esrog, the Chaitim, it's usually around it. Approximately the top third of the Esrog, usually from where the Esrog starts to narrow out, so that's called the Chaitim. So at that part of the Esrog, even the smallest amount is a problem. So the later, the Acharonim write, that since Rashi says the reason why the top of the Esrog is more Chomer is because that's the part that catches your eye, that's the part that you see. So therefore, Filo B'mashu, so the first can quote, that's only true if it's something that can be seen by the naked eye. Means if you see, you hold the Esrog, like you would hold it, like you're shaking the Esrog, and you notice that there's a pimple, there's a blotch, something on the top of the Esrog, that's the problem. What if it's so minute that you have to mamish take off your glasses and stare and look at it to see that there's a little mark there? So the post can say, that's mamish garnish. Even the chotem, that's mamish nothing. Because the whole reason why the chotem is mochomer is because that's the part that you see. But if we're mice, you don't see it because it's so tiny, so that's not a problem at all. So that's a partial like that. Everybody holds that way. That if you have a little mashu on the top of the Esrog, it's so small you can't even see from even using the naked eye. You can't see from the distance of the normal holding an Esrog from away from your body when you shake the loose Esrog. So that's for sure it doesn't pass with the Esrog. Kavachomer ben Benosha Kavachomer, there's no halacha to use a magnifying glass. It's mamish not, never was required to use a magnifying glass. The post can, don't even discuss that because it's such a difficult process that you don't have to. The halacha is that even with the naked eye it doesn't always passel. If you have to put it all the way up to your eye, then it doesn't passel. Only something that catches the naked eye from the distance of where you would normally hold the Levinas, and then you can begin to discuss the Shiloh. So you have a lot of these pictures out there that have different people looking at. I don't understand any of the pictures. Kashal and Mysol, the pictures. We're looking at magnifying glasses for. We never look at magnifying glasses for anything. I don't understand that. It's like they asked the Briska Rav. They asked him, what's going to be? Heire, Yibana, Mikdash. So we're going to go back to Kiddush HaChodesh. So they asked the Briska Rav, we're going to use telescopes to look for the Levana. You can see the Levana early with the telescopes. So the Briska Rav said, no. He said, the Torah says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. So Kazera Eva Kadesh. So why did HaKadosh Baruch have to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, what you see, you Makadesh? So the Briska Rav, in pure Briska terminology, said, the shear of a Levana is only the amount that can be seen by the naked eye. If you can't see it with the naked eye, it's Mishkein Levana. So that's not a shear, that's a royal Makadesh. So that's all the halachas are given according to Lefira Osa and Adayanim. That's what we just had just today. And an hour ago, a guy came by my sukkah, and we were just trying to figure out whether the ledge is overhanging over part of the sach. So I was looking up and I said, didn't look like it was overhanging. So the guy says he has a laser gun. So he'll take a laser gun and show. So I said, okay, we'll take a look. So he pulls out, my wife heard there's a laser gun. She got nervous. She didn't know what that meant. I knew already from Erevin. She thought I was coming to, I don't know what, whatever. So it just means to shoot a laser. You stand, you shoot a laser. You could see exactly whether it's up or not. So I said, okay, there's some folks more mocked, but you have to make sure that it clears by the laser also. Baruch Hashem, we cleared the laser also. So if it wouldn't have cleared the laser, but it clears Lefira Osei, then that's a machlekes as opposed to Erevin. Is that good enough? So that would probably be the same machlekes as Ilchus Sukkah. But Baruch Hashem, we're okay in both of them. Anyway, so getting back to the story, so when it comes to Ilchus Esrog, so sometimes you have certain chumras on the top of the Esrog, because that's the Mokom HaRe'iyah. So the Rosh writes, so that's only true by Psulim, which are Hadar Psulim. But Psulim, which are like Shir Meshulosh, so what is the top of the Hadassah any better than the bottom of the Hadassah? As long as you have a Shir of Gimel Tvachim, of Hadassah and Meshuloshim, so Menach Kemini, when it's on top and the bottom. When you're talking about Chazazas on an Esrog, you're talking about Blotches on an Esrog, so those are Dinim of Hidr. So Hidr are Nikva, according to Lefira Osei Adam, and the top of the Esrog is more visible than the bottom of the Esrog. But other Dinim, like Meshulosh, Menach Kemini, wherever it is, if you have a Shir Meshulosh, then you're okay. So again, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Chetchili required the whole shear of the three tvach, the two and a half tvach, whatever the shear of the Hadas is, to be avos, to be Mishalosh, and the Diyavid, it's makir v'rov, and the Ramah says it doesn't really matter where the shear is, where the whole shear or the rope shear, as long as it's anywhere in the Hadas, so that would also be acceptable. The Shulchan Aruch is going to Ikfas HaRaivit, he's quoting this Raivit, who's assuming that there's a significant amount of the Hadas that has to be Mishalosh. It's not enough just to have one level, you know, just to have a couple of leaves with Shulash and Kovah the day. There's a halach, it has to be the Kulo, it has to be Rubo, but not everybody agrees to this right there. Some Rishonim say that maybe if you have less than this, so maybe it would be alright. So what exactly should that be based on? Why should anybody say that maybe we can let you get away with even less than Rov? So perhaps there is a shayla that the Rishonim seem to discuss about Hadas Meshulash. What exactly is the nature of this din of Meshulash? The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, it has to be Anaf, it's obvious it has to be Meshulash. So there's a basic hakira about Meshulash, about this nature of Hadas Meshulash. Is Pshat, this really defines the min? It means this is the min. The kviyas of min is, if it's Meshulash, that's called the Hadas. If it's not Meshulash, that's called the Tulip. That's a different branch, it's a different thing. The Torah wasn't talking about that. Or no, that's not the definition of the min of the Hadas, but rather, this is a prop in the mitzvah. It means, avada, this comes from a myrtle tree, and that comes from a myrtle tree, and afkamina, this is three, this is two and one. It's all the same, it's all the min hadas. But the Torah said that it's not enough just to come from a myrtle tree. There are certain halachas. So one of the details in the halacha is that it has to be avos. Let's say, l'moshel, you have a esrogim, you have a similar shayla. So you have an orange. So an orange is not acceptable for a dalam medium, because that's not the min esrog. It's a different min lagamri. It's a fifth min. It's nothing to do with an esrog tree. Or let's say you have an esrog that came from an esrog tree, but it's got a chazazis, it's got a pimple on it, it's got a blotch on it, it's got a hole in it or something. So that's called an esrog, it has a shame esrog on it, but it's an esrog, apostle, because the Torah says it has to be a complete esrog, it has to be a mehuder esrog, there are details that the Torah says. So very often when you're dealing with dalaminim, you have to always ask yourself, when you say that something is possible for dalaminim, do we mean it's mamish not a min? This is no shaychus to the dalaminim, this is a fifth min, this is not part of the parasha. Or do we say, no, it's a min that's possible. So perhaps that's what's going on here in the Rishonim also. If you hold that all you need Meshulash is just to be Kaveya, that this is the correct min, so then maybe you don't need the whole branch to be Meshulash, as long as some of the leaves are on it, are Meshulash. That indicates us, obviously it's growing from the correct tree. Not all the leaves develop properly. No, Mishkefelech, as long as you know for a fact that it comes from a tree that creates Meshulashim, so then that should be kosher. But if you hold more than that, if you hold that, know that the din of Meshulash is that in order to be a kosher, not kosher min, in order to be kosher for the mitzvah of dal minim, not because it's not the correct min, it is the correct min, even if it's not Meshulash, it's the correct min, but that's one of the tenoim, one of the conditions that Torah sets in, is that it has to be Meshulash, then you could argue that it has to be Meshulash the entire shear, it has to at least be Meshulash over the shear. So the Maaseh, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah both paskin that l'chatchila the shear has to be the entire, the Meshulash has to be the entire shear, and the Diyavah, even if it's over the shear, that would also be okay. What kind of halacha is this, that it has to be l'chatchila kol hashir? Is there a principle in halacha called rubu kekula or not? If we rely on rubu kekula in all areas of halacha, so why all of a sudden over here do we get nervous about it? So the truth is that we do find in other areas of halacha where we rely on rubu kekula, that rubu kekula very often is a din b'diyavah. L'chatchila is supposed to do the mitzvah completely. But you goofed, you didn't do it properly, okay, so we'll give you a freebie, we'll give you a green light. If you did it raw, it's also okay. The Marshal, the Gemara says in the Sechah Berakah Masechah Shchulin, when you shecht an animal, you're supposed to shecht both simanim on an animal. Halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, you have to shecht both the esophagus as well as the trachea, the kana and the vashet. Well, when you shecht the bird, so you have to shecht at least one of the two simanim properly. So the Mishnah says in Masechah Shchulin that me'ikar adin ruba kakula. Let's say a person shechted, and he didn't shecht through the entire trachea, he didn't shecht through the entire esophagus, but you shecht it through rov of the simanim, you can both simanim on a behema or one of the simanim on a bird. So the halacha is a ruba kakul, the shechit is going to be kosher. If you didn't even shecht through rov, so then just shecht that minuta simen, then it's mamash and avela. Remember, I haven't seen too many shechitas in my life, but one time in Marav Shas, back over 20 years ago already, so there was some guy who was his shtick, he was like to shecht animals and birds. So that year in the YU dorm, he shechted a sheep. I remember he brought it into the dormitory. It was before they had security in YU. So he brought a sheep up into the dorm. It was staying there for a couple of days, and then he shechted it. And he had chickens floating around, and geese walking around, ducks walking around. He had a whole zoo going on there. Anyway, so that summer, he decided he's going to bring up a sheep to Marasha also. So he shechted the sheep. And he saw that his face turned white. As soon as he finished shechita, he started to look at the dinners. You have to start looking at the simanim. And he's looking at the esophagus and the trachea, and everyone's looking around, and no one knew what he was looking for. And you see, he wasn't happy. So yes, any shechtim, anyone here knows anything? Yeah. So nobody really knew anything. Yeah. So somebody said, wait a second, the guy, Shinomar Asha, so one of the old cooks, and I don't think he's there anymore, Sadia. He was there for 50 years or so. So he was an old Svardi, old Svardi fellow. He retired. So they said, yeah, that he knew Shechita. Like, like the Svardim, So they called him in for the other side of camp. So he came, comes running over. He picks up the head of the animal. If you remember this, like yesterday, he's the head of the animal. He looks at the simanim and he says, Nivrena. And he says, throws it down on the floor. What happened was, the reason why it was a nevela was because he didn't shecht the rov of the simen. That he goofed, he missed, his knife didn't go as far as it was supposed to. So the whole thing was nevela, was out of cellar in itself. And he gave it to one of the guys, not the cook preferably in the kitchen there, but to whatever. Anyway. But yeah, I don't want to say. So the din is that when the shechet shechts, he's supposed to aim to try to get the entire simen, but the diavad, if he shechts through rov, the simen is good. If he doesn't even shecht rov, then it's not going to avail him. So how come the halacha is he supposed to shecht kol ha-simen? If the halacha Moshe Messina says that rov is good enough, rubu kakulo, so why are you supposed to shecht kulo? So it would appear perhaps, one of two reasons. Either one could argue maybe it's just a lechetchila because you don't want this to happen. If you'll aim for kol, then there's a chance you may make rov. If you aim for rov, then you'll end up with miyot. But maybe it's more than that. Maybe the halacha is that Ruba Kakula was only said b'diavad. It means the Torah said you're supposed to do mitzvahs in the proper, lechetchila took away. So there's like a lechetchila there, I said not to rely on rov. Rov is when you're stuck, when Nebuch is shechted, and now you realize you shecht the rov. So b'diavad, we'll let the shechita go. But when you shecht lechetchila, you're supposed to aim to do the entire simen. So it could be that's what the Ravid is driving at here also, which is the source of the Shulchan Aruch, that the Torah says to take a hadas. So the Torah defines hadas anaf etzavos. So the Torah says, alright, it's true that the Eved, if a guy took a hadas which had 1.6 of the tzvachim were meshulah, so then we can't say it's possible. That's kosher, that's rubik akula. But that's not the way you do mitzvahs. You're not supposed to rely on rubik akula. You're supposed to do the mitzvah. Bekulo, you're supposed to take an entire shear of hadas. That's Meshulash from top to bottom. So that perhaps is the Pshat and the Ravid. So that's true. So Lamais, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That Lechetchila, one is really not supposed to rely on Rov. One is really supposed to rely. One is really supposed to get the entire Shia to be Meshulash. So it's based on this Pshat and the Ravid. The Shulchan Aruch follows this Ravid that this whole institution of Kulo Meshulashim is at the market. So when you go now and you buy Hadassim, so they usually offer you two choices. So they offer you either what's called Rov Meshulash, or they offer you what's called Kulo Meshulash. So again, assuming that all those facts are right, that this is in fact Reuben is in fact Kula, what they're basically telling you is that if it's Reuben Meshulash, so then it's kosher. Shulchan Aruch says, Likuva Berubel, so the evidence is going to be kosher. But if your person wants to be Yod, then the mitzvah Mamash Chetchila, like the Shulchan Aruch recommends, the mitzvah being in Kosher Adas, so it's probably Kedai to buy the Kula Meshulashim. So the problem is that they cost significantly more. That I know the way the last couple of years that I've been buying, so if you buy the cheaper set, you buy the Reuben Meshulash, they usually that gets thrown in with the esrog. So you spend whatever $75 on an esrog, so they'll give you the hadassim in for free. Ma'ashayinke, if you want to buy the extra hadassim, the fancy hadassim, so then I bought yesterday, it cost me another $25 to buy the hadassim that they should be kulam mishulash. So we split on that one. So for my set, I bought the kulam mishulash. My son said he's under bar mitzvah for chinuch, so dikra lo adikra din that likuva is ruba for $25. Anyway, so plus I've also found some of the ones that are ruba mishulash really are kulam mishulash. So they're just not guaranteeing that they're more than that. So no. Anyway, lechatchila, I think it's probably kedai. So about $25 to be out to the shulchan aruch. Mitzvah lechatchila, mistama is the correct thing to do. But the ikra din, anything which is ruba mishulash is technically kosher. This shayla that we raised in discussing the shear of the hadas of mishulash, as to what the nature of the din of mishulash is, the hadas that's not mishulash. So is that not a shear? That's not a min. That's like a tulip. That's like a rose. That's not dalaminim. Or it basically is one of the dalaminim. It's just it's a puzzle. Happens to be a puzzle. So this has probably affects another discussion in the Rishon. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in the fourth in the Ramakomas in Simon Tafresh Nun Aleph Siftes Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Yito yosem me lulav echad ve'esrog echad." So you're not supposed to take more than one lulav and more than one esrog. Avabav rather the hadas mostly but kol mashi yirtzeh. But if a person wants to add on to the hadasim and add on to their rubbers, so then one would be permitted to do so. So not all the Rishonim agree to this, but the Shulchan Aruch is going to ikvas those Rishonim who are saying that that's not considered to be a problem. But says the Shulchan Aruch, "V'yesh mishaposel laniach hadashoyte belulav." So the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say a person wants to add on hadasim because he wants to make it look nice. He wants to, like, you go to the florist, so you don't want to spend too much money, so you buy a couple of flowers and you add a lot of green. So the guy buys a dalad minim, but it doesn't look so nice, so he wants to add on a few more. So he can't get kasher hadasim, so he takes the pasul hadasim. So he adds on hadashayt. Is that okay now? So the Shulchan Aruch says, some say that that's okay, and others say that that's not okay. What's the machlokes? So the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that you're not allowed to add on another min. So the guy takes dal and beat him, and he puts in a rose or two to make it look prettier. So that smacks about toysef. According to many Rishonim, that's an issue about toysef tiaraisa. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't want you to take anything chutz to dal and beat him. So the question is, to add on hadasim, which are kosher, that's all right. To add on a rub instead of kosher, the Shulchan Aruch holds, it's also okay. But to add on a tulip or a rose, that's not okay. So what about the add on a hadashoyta? Is the adding on a hadashoyta like analogous to adding on a rose or a tulip? Or is adding on a hadashoyta, that's like adding on more hadasim? So that seems to be our shayla, these 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. What's the nature of hadashoyta? Is a hadashoyta like a rose? Hadashoyta is not much a different min, it's a fifth min legamre, and that smacks about toysef, because you're adding on to the minim ha-Torah. But you say, no, hadashoyta is not a fifth min, hadashoyta is a shem hadas, it's called hadas. There's a court that it's not called avos, so it's a hadas that's possible. So to add on a hadas that's possible, maybe that wouldn't be a violation of Baal Toysef. At the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch says it's not a good idea anyway. But medaktikim einu mosif mashteh ravos u'shlosh hadas and avos. That those who are really medaktik, those who want to follow the lechatchila shel lechatchila, shouldn't add on anything. They shouldn't add on to the Torah ravos, and they shouldn't add on to the three hadasim. They should just take exactly what it says in the Torah. Take one lulav, one esrog. It says pri etzada, pri is lashon yachid, kapos tamarim, even though it's pronounced kapos lashon ramen, but it's written chaser as kapas tamarim, so that the Gemara says that's the mocha that you need one lulav. So anaf etzava, it says 3 words, anaf etzava, so that teaches us you need 3 hadasim. And arve nachal is the miut aravos eshnayim, because it says arve, which is a plural. The smallest amount of plural is 2, so that's the mocha you need 2 aravos. So the medachtikim don't want to add anything. They don't take any more hadasim, any more aravos, nothing. Just mamash as it says in the Torah, shouldn't be any cheshash about toysef. But the ikra din, the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that it's not really a problem. The ikra din, you are allowed to add on hadasim and aravos. The only thing is the Shulchan Aruch is mistafek. He quotes 2 opinions in Rishonim, whether it's appropriate to add on non-hadasim mishuloshim or not. It's interesting to note just historically that clearly the minhag was thousands of years ago they would add on a lot of hadasim, like the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, so the chetchil, you can add as many hadasim as you want, it makes the mitzvah look pretty, even though that's not what that minhag is today. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the coins, it's the bar kokhba coins. It's from the Sadr, what are the coins? I think it's the bar kokhba coins, where you have a picture of dalaminim on the back, and you take a look at those dalaminim, and you see a lulav. It's clear there's a picture of a lulav, and it's clear there's a hadas, it's clear there's a ravas, and you see way more than 3 hadas in this. So it's like 50. They do that also. They do it also. So I'm saying this was 1,000 years ago from the Bar Kokhba coins. You already see that was a minhag. So it's not surprising. That's what the Rambam writes as a minhag. The Rambam writes that's the right thing to do. But our minhag is not the way. Our minhag is like that. There's one day in Rishonim that says you shouldn't add on anything. Any adding on is a smash of potential batelsif. So therefore, most of us don't do that. But within the assumption that you're allowed to add on hadasim, but you're not allowed to add on a fifth min, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes 2 days. What's the story with hadas mishuloshim, which is the same shaila we raised before? Is it a min achir or not? So basically, the din of hadas mishulosh appears in the Gemara. Machloek is in the Gemara whether it's really necessary. What we call hadas mishulosh, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it is necessary. Min haTorah pashtus, the Ramah quotes that the minhag in Europe used to be very lenient on this for a variety of reasons, which the later paskins say lechatchila one really shouldn't rely on. Then we have different opinions how much Mishulash is Mishulash, and we try to follow the Shulchan Aruch also in the Ravid, Lechatchila Kol Ashir, or at least the Dievid Rov Ashir, and then this Lamda Shashal, what the nature of a non-Mishulash is, which spills over in terms of potential issues about the Torah. Okay.